Shall we begin with prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, you are the giver of all good gifts. And we come before you as your sons, your beloved sons, who you have called to a life of sanctity, of holiness, a life of charity, of generosity. And as we begin these days, these hours of intentional discernment, we just ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Spirit, especially that spirit of discernment, where we can hear your voice. We ask through the power of the Spirit to cast out any worries, anxieties, any stresses that might be in our lives. We ask you, Lord, for that grace to allow us to put them on the side, so that as you call us out into the deep, we can hear your voice and we can confidently say yes to follow you. We ask our Blessed Mother, the Mother of all priests, the Mother of the faithful, the Mother of the Church, to intercede for us as well, that through her maternal intercession, we will be raised up into healthy and holy men of God, on fire for the gospel, passionately serving and spreading the message of love and of peace and of salvation to all the world. And Heavenly Father, we ask all these things through your Son's most holy name.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so before I came in, we're speaking with Father David the other, and he was asking if I had planned to read the scriptures. As I began my presentation, I said, sure. He said, well, I'm going to do it as well. I said, well, we can both do it. This notion of Lectio Divina that probably some of you are familiar with, that maybe for some of you it's a brand new fancy Latin phrase, Lectio Divina, divine reading. It's a method of prayer, an ancient method of prayer with the sacred scriptures, where climbing a ladder, we allow the word to take us deeper and deeper to the Lord's heart. So I would encourage you throughout this weekend, throughout these hours that you're here together, to spend some time with these scriptures, this passage from Luke's gospel, this calling of Peter, and just allow those words, as Father David says, to dwell richly within you, to permeate within you, like the water that permeates the ground as you're watering your garden. Allow that the word to permeate into your mind, into your heart, to allow the word of God to animate your entire being. So whatever God's call for your life is, you're always animated by his word and his will. So find some moments throughout these hours that you set aside, in particular for this passage from Luke's gospel, to speak to you. You know, this notion of Lectio Divina, you read it a few times slowly and just paying attention to the movements of your heart, to your mind. Is there a word or a phrase that stands out to you? That's the basics of it. I mean, there's you know, more particular techniques and there's different methodologies, but you're really just allowing the Holy Spirit to call to your mind, to your heart, in this particular passage, what is he saying to you right now? So in a month from now, you may read this passage again, and you might be struck by a different word, a different phrase. So just allow the Holy Spirit to really speak to you through these words. And so we read from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which had been taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So maybe we'll just take like 15 or 20 seconds just to keep that word or phrase in your mind that stood out to you. Okay, so just hang on to that word, that phrase throughout this weekend, and just continually go back to it. Say, "Lord, what are you saying to me?" You know, if you get into a small group, maybe you want to share it with a friend and just kind of discuss what the Lord is saying to you. Because each one of you will be a different thing. And as we share together, we get the fullness of the Spirit. And there's a lot in this passage, and the focus of my talk is the first part, the call of Jesus. And so I don't know who's going to keep my time for me, but you know I have a tendency to, all right. So Eric's in charge. So the call of Jesus. We can speak about a universal call to holiness, which has been a teaching of the church for ages, for centuries, but really came into focus in the last century and highlighted by the Second Vatican Council in the document on the church. The document's called Lumen Gentium, the light to the nations, highlighting who the church is. The church that people called together as disciples of the Lord are meant to be a light to the nations. And the church, we pray in the creed, is holy. One holy Catholic apostolic church. She's indefectibly holy. And therefore her members, those of us who are baptized, are called to share in that holiness. And the council will teach us that it's through our lives, the manifestation of the Spirit in each one of our lives, that the holiness of the church shines forth into the world. So primarily that's your call. I imagine all of you guys came, both blue shirts and not, because you know the Lord is calling you to something. In some way, shape, or form, you feel the Lord calling you to something. And through your baptism, we know without a doubt, primarily that call is to holiness. And Lumen Gentium will go on to say that is seen best, is best understood with the phrase perfection of charity. Charity, the virtue of love, where we seek the good of the other for the other, that we seek to serve and to love. So as we seek to die to ourselves, for the service of the other, what Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as ransom for the many. That's our model. And that should be our base, so that when we start to live that, when we start to answer that call to holiness, it's from in that framework where we can discern exactly how the Lord is asking us to live that life, that state of life. So, the married life, the consecrated life, the priesthood, religious life. What is the state of life? But primarily, he's calling you to holiness. And when we look at the first few verses in this passage, there's a lot there. And I have a timekeeper, so I'm going to try to keep my my thoughts concise. But just as we were like imagining the scene, the people were pressing upon Jesus. There was some excitement there. They wanted to be close to him. And so, is that true for you? In some way, do you feel this desire to press upon Jesus, to hear him, to be near him? Have you allowed the Word of God to dwell within you richly, to draw you closer to Jesus and want to hear him? And then we see that Simon and his friends had been out fishing, and they were failures. I mean, how many times do we read the scriptures that they came back after a night of fishing and had caught nothing? I mean, there's a lot we can pray through with that. The Lord's not looking for your success. I think it was Mother Teresa who made that phrase. He doesn't want you to be successful. He wants you to be faithful. And maybe we can look at the fact that they were failures. They were unsuccessful that night, which allowed them to be on the shore at that moment cleaning their nets. Because if they had been successful, maybe they had already hauled in their fish to the fish market or wherever they did with fish 2,000 years ago to start salting them down. Maybe they wouldn't have been in that exact location to hear Jesus. Maybe the boats would have been in a different location so Jesus wouldn't have had their boat to come into. So we can look at their failure, their unsuccess, as the opportunity that gave Jesus the opportunity to come to them. So maybe there are moments in your life that have been unsuccessful. Don't let that prevent you from allowing the Lord to come into your boat. And that's what Jesus did. He came into their boat. He came into their lives. And he spoke the language that was common to them. He met them where it was familiar to them. And when the Lord speaks to us, he does the same. You know, it's beautiful to come on a retreat, and it's necessary to come on a retreat. But sometimes the temptation is that God only speaks to me when I'm on a retreat. God only speaks to me when I set aside and I kind of separate myself from my ordinary, normal lives. But what the church would teach us in this universal call to holiness, and what St. Francis de Sales taught, you know, 500, 600 years ago, what St. Jose Maria Escriva taught all last century, it's in the ordinariness, the familiarity of your lives that the Lord speaks to you. It's how you get to know his voice. Imagine your relationship with your family and with your friends. It's in that commonality that you get to know their voice. You get to know them. It's the same thing with Jesus. Because we can say that he did go on a retreat when he called them out into the deep. So it's not like this is a bad thing or an unnecessary thing. But you have to be able to hear his voice calling you on the retreat, calling you into the deep first. So as men of God, as baptized Christians, we answer this call to holiness, to charity, to the perfection of charity first. Because we don't want the idea that we have to escape from the ordinariness, the familiarity, even the failures in our lives. We allow all of that which we are, we allow the Lord to perfect that, to purify that, and within that, call us to something deeper, call us to something greater. And then he says that he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to go out a little bit. He asked permission. He invited himself, and he asked for Simon's cooperation with his action. It's not an imposition. It's not a dictate. It's not a demand. He asked him to go out. And I guess I should put a little caveat. This is like Alexia. This is where the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. We're not speaking like theological understanding of how Jesus... Maybe the master can break that open a little bit in a minute. But so Jesus is asking each one of us for permission to use our lives, our successes, our failures, our entire commonality of our life in order to promote and to spread the truth. Because what did he do? He got into the boat, went out a little bit, and began to teach. He was teaching the whole crowd. It wasn't a singular call just yet. Jesus was inviting these men to help him spread the message of truth. That universal call, that common call that we all have to help Jesus' message get out. But then what does it go on to say? And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep." So he had finished the teaching. He had done enough work. Now it was time to let that seed, that seed permeate, that water percolate into the soil. He said, "Put out into the deep." He didn't ask him. So when you're praying through the scriptures, we can look for these little variations in the words and in the verbs to see how the movement of the Spirit is in the lives of these men in the scriptures, but also in our very own lives, how the Spirit moves, how he is a gentleman. He does want your permission. He does want you to allow him in to your boat so that then he can take you. Because once he knew that Simon was on board. Once he knew that, then he knew he had him. He caught him. He could take him deeper. The permission was already given. And that's another thing for us to know, is that when we give our permission to God, it's 100%. We allow him to take us. Once we say yes to his invitation, then he's in charge. I mean, he's ultimately already always in charge, but we have to cooperate with him. And once he knows that we trust him and that he can trust us, he takes us deeper. These are professional fishermen who had gone out fishing at night, which was when the time you fished. They were unsuccessful. Jesus, a carpenter, came to these fishermen and said, "Let's go out daytime fishing." Absurdity. I mean, it would make no sense. But because the trust was there, because the invitation had been accepted, "At your word, I will do it. At your word, I will do it." It's a beautiful, beautiful passage, and it's a beautiful time you have given yourself to be here this weekend. You've answered the call, acknowledging that the Lord has invited you to something. What that is, we don't know. I mean, I hope you all become priests. It's the best life ever. But allow the Lord to invite you. Allow the Lord, give him permission to get into your boat. Let him invite you to go out a little bit. And then follow him into the deep. That's what he's calling you. He's inviting you into his mission to spread the message of salvation to all the world. We can almost say in a way that he needs us. I mean, God, ultimate being, doesn't have any need. But he's choosing to make himself vulnerable to our rejection. Simon could have said, "No, I'm not going out. I'm tired. I've been fishing. You're a crazy carpenter. This is not going to work." But he said, "Yes." The Lord is inviting you in the very same way this weekend. Allow him in your boat. Allow him to call you into the deep, trusting that whatever he has in store for you is the best. "But at your word, I will." Let that be the response of your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.